Okay, now we're going to have Mike and Jane share their experience on step two with us.
I'm Mike, I'm an alcoholic. So, as I was mentioning before, when I first went into detox and saw GOD up on the banner of the 12 steps and that, you know, revulsion, the great revulsion, I think it describes it that way in We Agnostics. I'm actually, like probably a lot of us, perfectly described in that chapter, We Agnostics, which is how I was, you know, kind of with the reading that I was given on step two, and that I, when I bring guys through the steps, that's the reading I suggest for them. Now, the truth is, when I, you know, again, I was in early sobriety when I went through these steps, and my sponsor was, you know, just a year sober. Basically, I was told, and I think most of us were then at that time, just read the first 63 pages, I think it is, and I couldn't retain anything. I really couldn't. I tried my best, but my head was just all over the place, and I didn't have the benefit of a sponsor sitting down with me and going through a chapter at a time, which, you know, I do that today. You know, it started to kind of evolve that way, or a lot of people sponsoring guys in the step setting meetings I went to, they started doing it that way, and I think that's usually the way it's done in, you know, my men's group, and that's not a knock on my sponsor, it's just that he was given the book and told to read the first 60 pages, and I was his first guy, and he was his sponsor's first guy, and so, you know, we were all pretty new, and so that's what we were told. So in my experience, but I had desperation, you know, and I don't know why I did, but I'm very grateful I had it. You know, they say it's a gift. I don't know, but I know I had it, you know, and that's what drove me. Really, I was just kind of going along, doing whatever they told me to do, waiting. I wanted to get to the fourth step. I was hoping I could get rid of the madness in my head, you know, all that anger and all that fear. That's what I was hoping for. So it was pretty much all just yes, 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 you know, for me leading up to that point, you know. So my understanding today is all in hindsight. It's always been that way for me. I start understanding things looking through the rearview mirror. It's, you know, it's an action program, and you know, I have started experiencing, and I started experiencing the benefits of this program before I even understood it. Why I was experiencing those benefits, it was just because I followed the instructions, I took the actions, you know. But anyway, so, you know, really what step two was for me at that time was I saw people in big book step study meetings. For me in particular, it was big book step study meetings, I saw people who looked like they were reasonably happy, looked like they were calm, and I was not by a long shot, you know. And their message was consistent: was we were not this way, we did these steps, and that's why we are this way. It's kind of basically what it was, and that's what my step study sponsor told me. He said, you know, you do this work, you're gonna, you know, you'll get some serenity, you know, and you'll have a spiritual experience, you know. And so I was all in, I was all about that. So that was kind of, I came to believe that if I did this work, I would get what they had. And I didn't realize what I was seeing was sanity. I was seeing what sanity looks like, you know, in a sober alcoholic who feels comfortable in his or her own skin. That's what sanity looks like, I know, today, you know. And I was seeing that, and I wanted it, you know. So that's basically how I took step two. I wasn't, you know, really that much of a God guy at that point. That came for me further on when I needed to have an actual experience, which started to really happen for me further on in the latter part of the fourth step, and then it continued big time, actually, into nine, holy crap, you know, and I could no longer deny the existence of a power greater than myself who I couldn't see, but definitely knew what I was doing and was definitely helping me, you know, and I'm highly aware of that today on a daily basis as long as I continue to participate in this program, you know, So that was my step two, I guess. So you know, and I tell guys, anybody who has a problem with God, I am that person, you know. And that's, I love alcoholic, probably one of, there's so many things, reasons why I love Alcoholics Anonymous, but I think one of the biggest ones, probably the most important one for me, was this open approach to spirituality. Because if I came in here and I was told that I had to believe a particular concept of God, such as the God of my childhood, which I have no problem with now, the religion of my childhood, I'm not a religious person. I don't practice any religion. AA is pretty much my, you know, my religion. I'm a spiritual person, and these steps are my spiritual program, you know. But I don't have any issues. I respect all religions today, and obviously they help a lot of people. They wouldn't have such enormous memberships at all these different religions around the world, you know. And but that's, you know, neither here nor there as far as I'm concerned. You know, I just I have to tell this story. It came to me was I you know, early on, I was starting to get the idea. I heard so much talk about higher power, God, and get down on your knees, ask for God to remove the desire for a drink. You get down on your knees at the end of the day and thank Him. And I was like, man, I am not doing that. I had a bad attitude toward this God stuff, you know. And but I didn't want to drink again. I didn't want to drink, and I kept going to meetings, and I would hang around. They said hang around the winners, so I was hanging around the people who were staying sober. So it just so happens they were all people that had, you know, a relationship with a higher power, their own understanding. So I'm being exposed to these people on a regular basis. So it started, it cracked me, you know, it put a little crack in me. And I remember my first sponsor, Paul. He was a big, huge guy. I was scared shit of him. And he was the guy I was set up with. I was told, this guy's got to be a sponsor. Go ask him to be a sponsor. And he started taking me on commitments right away. And he would let me speak. He had these commitments that were his personal kind of commitments. And he would break the rules and let me speak before I had 90 days. And he would take me to these low bottom detoxes, Boston public detoxes, the Long Island Shelter, the Dimmock Street Detox. These are low bottom, these are tough places, you know. And he would take me out to Long Island, and these guys that we would go and speak to out there were in this holding unit. They were waiting for halfway houses, for public halfway houses, and they had been through public detox already, and they were waiting to hopefully get placed. And they lived for AA groups to come in there and give commitments. They actually lived amongst an active population. It was an active shelter. They would bring in active alcoholic and drug addicts at night. It was a madhouse. It was a living hell in there. And they had a little corner with stanchions around it. That was their spot. I was so inspired by these people. I couldn't believe it. But so my sponsor said, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna have a cookout for these guys, because they you know, the food they ate was not the best, but you know, mostly canned stuff most of the time. So the group got together and all, donated money, and got a whole bunch of hamburgers and steaks and all this good stuff. And it was all arranged, and we were going to have the cookout outside at the Long Island Shelter out in off of Quincy. And it rained. And so he said, well, we'll have it inside. We'll have it on a loading dock. And And the janitor said, you can't have it on a loading dock. Boston City code is you can't have an open fire. You can't have a grill on a loading dock, even though it's open air. There's a roof over your head, and you can't have it. And he said, okay. And he said, he told me, wait a minute. He went over. He got down on his knees. And I'm like, I remember I felt embarrassed. Like, what is this friggin' guy doing, you know? He got down on his knees. He didn't care. He got down on his knees, and, you know, he took a few moments, I remember, and he got up, and he said, come on, let's go. And I figured we're leaving. We're going to grab all the stuff and go. We drove down Wallison Beach, which is right near there, and we went into this place, Tony's Clam Shack. He knew the owner in there, and he told him what happened. And this guy, Tony, said, you bring all that stuff down here, we'll cook it up, we're going to free up one of the grills, we'll cook everything for you, and you can bring it back. And so he went back to the group, and they had this shuttle going back and forth, a couple, two or three vehicles running down. This guy was cover the whole thing with hamburgers, cook them all up. And see, things like that would, I said, that is friggin' crazy. He said, it's just crazy, you know? And he would ask for help, and he would get an answer, you know? And I was blown away by that, because I was brought up where it was about church and about worship and about ceremony and about rules and about stuff like that. It was not about, in my experience, about a personal relationship with God. Now, I have an older brother and sister who are very devout in the religion of my upbringing, who have relationships with God. That's their program, you know. They live a life similar to the life we live, you know. I see it, but I didn't get that, I guess, or I didn't pick up on it or whatever, you know. And anyway, so it was things like that that opened my mind into AA, and I started that. Crack a little bit, you know. And so I would ask him. I remember asking my sponsor, we were driving home, and I said, explain to me God. And he's like, man, he said, if I try to explain to you what God is, I'll probably be drinking, you know, by the end of the night. He says, I don't even think, I just get down on my knees, and I ask to be kept sober for a day, and I put, you know, put a bunch of days together. It just works, you know. He said, just, you know, and all these other folks in the group had told me the same thing. Just get down your knees, you know, throw your keys under the bed and all that stuff you hear. And I did. I finally get down on my knees. But what was bothering me was the madness in my head, you know, sober, that I was talking about, that I was so driven and so attracted to these big book step study meetings because of. I just wanted that to go away, you know, and I really thought I was going to pick up on something bad. I was going to do something that I was really going to regret, you know. And I just got down on my knees, and I said, I don't know what you are, and I don't know who you are, but if you are, just please help me. And I meant it. And that's the first time I said a prayer. I said prayers when I was a little kid. They taught me this, how the Our Father, the Hail Mary, but I never meant anything, you know. This was the first one I ever said I meant. I was driving to work the next day. I had a moment. All of a sudden, I felt everything is okay. And I went from denying the existence of any kind of God to a believer in a friggin' instant. And I have not been a non-believer ever since. Now, that went away quick. And the best piece of advice I told my sponsor, I wanted to tell him before I told anybody. I said, oh my God, I felt something. I felt it. And he told me, he said, don't you ever forget that experience. You chase this thing. He says, you chase this thing. He said, because the same thing happened to me. And he said, I didn't chase after it. And what happened to me is eventually I told myself, that was just a figment of your imagination. That wasn't real. That didn't happen. Well, by continuing to come to meetings, I have heard so many people who have had experiences like that that help to remind me, without they don't even know they are, helping to remind me that that was a real experience, you know. And that's why I got into Big Book Step Study, was he told me to chase it, and I heard the dog whistle when this was the path for me. This is how I was gonna chase it with a capital I, you know. It's when I think, you know, that I pray and meditate today, I ask for help from a God of my understanding. It's as much a miracle that I don't even as that I don't want to drink today. For me, I can't believe that. When I told my mother that I believed in God, she almost dropped dead. Right? She turns out she'd been praying for decades. I didn't know, but my sister told me. My sister said, "You know, Ma's been praying that you find God since you were, I don't know how old, in my teenage years or something." It took a while for it to happen because I like to get hammered, you know, but it did. And here I am, and I'm grateful I am. So that's enough out of me. I do.
Okay. I'm Jane, an alcoholic.
Jane.
It's a little past my bedtime. But no, I'm here. I'm in it. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I always thought the insanity was dancing on tables and wet t-shirt contest. You know, that's the insanity. I did get another DWI, and I did go to Acapulco. I won a trip on a game show when I was out in L.A. And I brought all my dirty clothes. Like, I had my dirty clothes, and I had all the clothes I was bringing to Acapulco for a week, and I brought all the dirty clothes. My sheets. I ended up with a suitcase full of sheets and blankets, and I thought that was insanity. Like, isn't that insane? And those are always the stories that I told from the podium, like, because they're true. And but I learned about this new insanity, the insanity that precedes the first drink, that mental blank spot that I'm going to drink again, and there's no power on earth that is going to interrupt it, but I need to find a power greater than myself. And very early on when I got sober, I was told to get on my knees and ask a power greater than myself to keep me sober, and I did that. I did it every day. I was so desperate. And I would thank this higher power at night. And it meant nothing, but I would say it. Even if you don't feel it, you just get on those knees and you say it. And I did. I'd close the door, put down the shades, and I'd say it. And I was sober longer than I ever, ever had. It was like 30 days sober of not having a drink. And I was going to a meeting every day. She said 90 meetings in 90 days. And I'm like, that's a meeting every day? I don't have time for that. But she's like, 90 meetings in 90 days, I'm showing you how to stay sober. And that's what we do. And I was a single parent. I had two little kids, babysitters, all of this. And I did over 90 meetings in 90 days. On Saturdays, I went to 3 meetings. And I stayed sober. And it was about 30 days that I remember that I realized that I was sober. Like, this is the longest I've ever been sober. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, so I decided that after the meeting that night, Monday night in Sanford, Maine, I was going to go drink, because it was a little scary to me. If anybody follows that, I mean, I was just like, I didn't intend to get sober forever. And I'm doing what I'm told, and I'm staying sober. I'm getting on my knees. I'm asking. So I decided I was gonna drink after. I didn't hear a thing at the meeting. You know, bolted out the door, got my car, went over to Hannaford. I was in Maine, and they sell wine, and I forget the store, but. So I grab a bottle of wine and some peanuts so it wouldn't look bad. So I go to the checkout and I'm like, oh my God, I got wine. And I put it down and I like open up cashews and I start eating them. I was nuts. Like if I, like, you know, I need to remember that when I got sober, I was not okay. It's amazing anybody stays here and gets sober. I'm so grateful because, like, I didn't understand any of this. And I remember that they said at the meeting, I remember this one thing, and they said, just don't drink today. So I made a decision that I was going to drink in the morning. But I wasn't going to have it in the house, and I'd have to go get it. And I made it through that night. I wanted it so bad. And I made it through that night. And the next morning, I got on my knees, and I asked God, keep me away from a drink or drug. 1 minute at a time, 1 hour, all of a sudden it started getting hard for me because I'm really in the game now. I'm gonna ask this God and I'm gonna stay sober today, just today, and then I'll get up and do it again tomorrow. And I'm so grateful for the people that would call me and, you know, how you doing, Jane, you know? And I'm like, I feel like drinking. I want to drink. You know, ask God to keep you sober. Going through the things that I need to do. I was going to a meeting every day. And it was working. It was working. And I didn't have any kind of relationship with God. And when I got to this step and I went over it with my sponsor, I didn't know that she was a very religious person, and I really admire her because I probably would have picked someone else. And I went all the way through the steps with her, and I never knew. She was so devout in her religion, and still is today. And that would have turned me off. It's like, that's where my head was at. Like, no, I don't do the God stuff. Like, this program is about finding a power greater than yourself so you can stay sober. So I ended up telling my sponsor that, you know, I really don't have a relationship with God. Like, she didn't have me think about what it would be or anything, nothing. I just got on my knees and I asked and it was working, and so I stayed with it. And she said, are you willing to believe that I believe? And I said, yes. And she said, okay, you've done step two. I did. Phew! It was the only one. I was like, that one I was worried about. I was really worried. Like, I don't. You know, I don't do business with God. And because I didn't know, I was completely in self-will. And I was running the show. I had no clue. I was about to find that out. And I was causing all my difficulties. That all of my difficulties were coming, stemming from me, so I had a shot at getting better. But at this point, I was just seeing the people. I think you mentioned it, Mike. I saw the people in Big Book step study meetings, and they had something. I could even tell who was going to share because I could see it in their eyes. I don't know if I still see that today, but God gave me that. God gave me that little gift that when I'm looking around the room, I knew who was going to speak, right? And it was so special. These are God shots. These are my knowing that there is something. And, you know, the very first time that I heard of AA, I went to a meeting and a woman gave me her number, and it was on her card. And I was one day sober, and she had on her card her address. And I drove to her house. And I sat in her driveway and said, oh, shit, now what am I going to do? And I went up to her door and I rang the doorbell. And she's like, Jane, come in, let's have tea. And I said, oh, I'm an alcoholic. I just sobbed. I sobbed. And I just feel like it was the sweetest moment because she just said, there's a meeting tonight, you know. But I didn't want to say that at meetings. Like this like, man, alcoholism, it sabotages us. It wants us alone and dead, you know. And I'm breaking through all of that to get sober. And that's what we all do. We have to break through all of those voices that are saying, nah, they're different. You know, no. And this is where I need to be. And this is where I gain. Like today, I have a working relationship. And I know that's in a lot of step. But that's like, I just stuck around and did what people said, and I think, gee, I feel like maybe it's bonfire time. Bonfire! Yeah! I think I'm done.